How have you not seen this? Welcome back to How Have You Not Seen This. As always, it's me, your host, Dustin Meadows. Today, I am joined by Mike Kolar.
Hello.
My roommate, Lauren Benkaz.
Hello.
And if you hear some dummy laughing in the background, that is my friend Matt Dolan hanging out with us.
Hey.
Yep, there it is. Today, we watched the 1987 movie RoboCop, one of the most violent, most awesome action sci-fi films ever made, really. Mike Kolar, how have you not seen this?
I think it goes back to what you said, Dustin. Literally, I remember my dad telling me that he took my brothers and sisters to see it, and they walked out because it was so violent.
But knowing that, how have you not seen that by now?
I don't know, I think it was on maybe TNT or something, and I saw clips, and I saw Red Foreman, and I saw how it was, like, edited.
Yeah.
It just didn't do anything for me, and I don't know. I really don't know how I have not seen it.
Okay, that's fair. Lauren, how have you not seen this?
Again, like I said for Ghostbusters 2, my brother folded me up in half and farted a lot on me when I was a child.
When you were a what?
A child! So, it's possible that I saw RoboCop, but I have no memory of it whatsoever. Just the farts really get to me.
She's just had a very traumatizing fart childhood.
It was really gassy in the 90s.
It must have been. So, cool. So now that we've seen it, what do you guys think of the movie?
Well, I loved it, then I hated it, then I loved it some more, and then I hated it, and by the end of it, I just wanted to marry it and make sweet love to it.
All right, Mike, what did you think?
I really liked it. I liked it a lot. It's action movies aren't like that anymore.
No, definitely not.
Like, even the stop motion didn't bother me. That was one thing that was like, well, this looks old. But then everything else was like, it's just, it was so violent.
Yeah.
And it's so graphic.
Oh, that's why I wanted to marry it.
It was so good.
All the violence.
Because of the violence and the graphic scenes.
Yeah, let's talk about some of the stuff in this movie. The violence. What was favorite violent scene, I guess?
I think the guy who is drenched in toxic waste and then disintegrated with Red Foreman's car was fucking awesome.
That's a pretty great moment. Lauren, what about you?
Okay, this was towards the beginning, but it really hit me. I'm going to have two. Can I have two?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so the first one, when they're introducing the first version of RoboCop.
Uh-huh.
And they tell one of the people in the meeting to point a gun.
Oh, yes.
At the RoboCop.
The Ed 209, not the RoboCop.
Oh, I'm sorry. And then the machine, whatever you called it.
Ed 209.
Okay. And it just loses its goddamn mind. And then it just shoots up the place. And I was just like, oh, I'm in love. Take me now, RoboCop.
Just shoots the shit out of the one guy.
Right. And then my second favorite scene would have to be when the cops, the regular people cops, they go and they're trying to get these drug dealers. And then the one guy cop.
Murphy.
I didn't pay attention to names.
RoboCop. The titular character.
He's eventually RoboCop, but he's not RoboCop at this point yet.
Murphy played by Peter Weller. Go on.
Okay. And so they shoot him, but Red Foreman's character, mm-hmm. which I don't know his real
Clarence
name.
Clarence Boddicker.
Okay, whatever.
Oh, Kurtwood Smith is the actor's name. Clarence Boddicker is the character.
I don't need to know these names.
Well, the listeners
Foreman,
may want to.
Red Foreman.
Evil Red Foreman, yes.
Yes, evil Red Foreman, who's aged nicely, might I add.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, he decides that he has had enough with Murphy, and he just shoots his arm off.
Yep.
And then they just shoot him up, and it's just, oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah, that, in the DVD chapters, that scene is titled The Mutilation of Murphy.
Oh, that makes me love it even more.
That scene sums up the movie so perfectly. Just that very stylized execution of him. That honestly is probably my favorite scene of violence in this movie as well. So what are these talking about? Mike made the comment, action movies like this don't really get made anymore. I think that's true for a number of reasons. Part of it, the violence level, the closest thing I can think of in violence that's come out recently is the Punisher Warzone movie.
I think I've seen that.
Oh, well, guess what? That's going to happen.
How have I not seen that?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it either.
That's going to... Yep. Punisher Warzone, it's the closest thing to a modern-day RoboCop in terms of the just sheer amount of violence.
It reminded me, I think, A History of Violence, where it's just really graphic.
Yeah.
That's what it reminded me of. Where it's like, holy shit.
Yeah, it's incredibly violent. And I fucking love how over-the-top violent it is. On top of that, you have the social commentary. Because this movie was written and made when Reaganomics, was at its peak. At the height of just a real shitty fucking time in the 80s. So you had all this stuff like the privatization of the police department, like a corporation controlling a public service.
Yeah, they killed Kenny. They even bled Bat an eye when that robot.
Yeah, yeah. It was like, what? His fucking reaction was just like, "Hey, it's the city," you know. I was like, "Yeah, it's the city. You get shot up by robots who go batshit crazy every day. That's the city."
It's interesting that it's Detroit too.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. Self fulfilling prophecy. Jesus Christ. Like Detroit. So many of the things, like a lot of it is really just against anti-corporation in the movie. There's one thing I caught this time that I'd never noticed before, and it's when Dick Jones, like kind of the main bad guy that's telling Kurtwood Smith, Red Foreman, what to do, he's doing his pitch and he says, "Good business is where you find it." And then there's a scene later where Clarence Boddicker is in the warehouse doing the coke deal and he repeats, "Good business is where you find it," while they're trying to just fucking arrange a drug agreement.
There's a lot of levels.
Yeah.
A lot of levels. I was really actually... I didn't know... What's his... Kurt Boddinger? That's his name?
Clarence Boddicker.
No, what's the actor's name, though?
Kurtwood Smith is the actor.
He's a really good actor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, he's phenomenal.
I have no idea. I don't know if I don't know what else he's in, but...
Yeah. That 70s show was the first thing... Because I saw RoboCop after I saw that 70s show. Like, when I was in middle school, I want to say. Somewhere around there. And... Yeah, to see him going, he's a hard ass on that 70s show, but then to see him just be this calculating, just over the top villain is so
really
fucking
weird.
Cool.
It's
it's pretty great.
But, best Clarence Boddicker moment, maybe even the best part of the movie, Bitches Leave.
Yes.
Such a badass scene.
Dustin, could you please describe that scene for our listeners?
Okay. So, Bob Morton, played by Miguel Ferrer.
Take me there mentally, please.
Bob Morton, the guy who created the RoboCop program, is just chilling at his house with two... I don't know if they're hookers. If they're hookers, they're very classy.
They're bitches.
They're very clearly bitches.
They like cocaine, so
off the ship.
Yeah. At one point, one of the girls just dumps a little vial of cocaine onto her breast and tells them to just, snort it.
That's just the 80s, though, man.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. And this movie is clearly reflective of the time period that created it. So he's in there just snorting coke off this lady's tits. And the other girl is just like, "Save some for me, Bob." He's just like... half-heartedly slapping her on the ass while he's snorting coke off this other girl's tits. Then Clarence Boddicker shows up, pulls a gun, takes two steps in, just says, "Bitches, leave." They take off running right before the blonde who had the cocaine snorted off her tits stops long enough to say, "Hey, are you going to call me?" To the guy that's being held at gunpoint.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
He's not gonna call.
That scene is so good. he gets fucking shot and kneecapped.
Bitches leave is actually a very robotic thing to say too.
Yeah.
There's no bitches please leave.
Yeah.
Could you bitches leave? No. Just bitches leave.
So yeah, to an extent too, at the risk of getting more pretentious, which is kind of what I do on this show. Yeah. this movie also kind of just shows you how de-fucking humanized people are.
Yeah.
Especially with the corporation and then in a character like Clarence Boddicker. And even there's a scene later when they refer to RoboCop as a product.
Yeah.
And that's exactly how they view the police department, too. Because, the cops go on strike towards the end of the movie. Which is insane.
Well, they're talking about building this new city on top of the old one.
Yeah.
But the way they sound, it's going to be the same city. Like, either Red Foreman's still going to run the drugs. It's just going
exactly.
to be, it's just going to be a more corrupt... They're just going to own more of the city.
Yeah, and they, and that's the way they wrote it, too. Like, it, everything in this movie is a business deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is insane and terrifying, but also, again, very accurately reflects the era that created it.
Yeah.
And because of that, I think this movie still holds truth, like, 20, 30 years later.
Do we know what happened to his family? I didn't get that. I didn't catch that.
I thought
he and the wife got divorced, right? And then he mentions about the laser show that his kid likes.
TJ Laser.
TJ Laser. And so then he, at the beginning of the movie, he always... he's practicing flipping his gun.
Yeah, like doing the spinning laser, it like a cowboy, yeah.
Which I think is hilarious, because when is his child gonna see him out crime fighting and spinning his gun?
Maybe like before he leaves the house or something.
Just spins the gun.
It's a fun thing to do for the kids.
Just points it at the child after he spins it.
Maybe when he takes his son to the range. as far what actually happens with the family, I know this because I've seen all the RoboCops, but what it is basically is Murphy is dead, and his family, they just move on. Like, that's really all it is.
Wait, oh, so they actually, so he comes back after they hear he's dead?
Yeah, like, weeks,
oh,
like,
okay.
Between him getting killed and becoming RoboCop, like, a couple of months pass.
Oh.
Because when they're pitching that, like, Bob Morton even says, like, the turnaround time on the project's gonna be, like, 90 days.
Gotcha.
So, like, that's time that has passed. And his family is just, like, they've had to move on with their lives.
Right.
So they probably moved into, like, a fucking apartment
moved
or even out of the city.
To RoboCop 2 and 3.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, like, Murphy goes back to the house, but he can't go back to his family like that.
Well, not as a robot.
Exactly, yeah.
He doesn't understand love. He doesn't understand
yeah.
He's learning. He's learning, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe.
They're not designed to understand love.
No. I think I think Maggie Gyllenhaal really liked him.
Yeah. In right. between her chewing gum.
Yep. Maggie Gyllenhaal, a.k.a. Nancy Allen, is the actress. Played
the,
Anne
the
Lewis.
Mother of, the mother of Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Oh, the mother of Maggie Gyllenhaal. damn it.
This
I had
explains a lot. This explains a lot.
Connecting yeah. the pieces.
Yeah, absolutely. Just, one of the other things with the movie... when he starts off, he's got those directives implanted.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they put in that one that, like, doesn't allow him to act against it. But then by the end of the movie, like, after he's, like, taken off, like, his helmet and you see his face and everything, mm-hmm. he's kind of lifted that constraint of working in the system. And he even says to Red Foreman, to Clarence Boddicker,
yeah.
Before, he's like, I'm not going to arrest you anymore.
He doesn't obey Asimov laws anymore.
Yeah. He's like... the gloves are off, like, I'm just gonna kill you.
Yeah.
The helmet's off. The helmet was really what was holding him down the
yep,
whole time.
Yep.
He actually still has a really nice face.
Yeah,
he looks fossil.
Oh, he
it's just the rest of him is, you know, a robot. A robot cap.
Other than that, he's a handsome, handsome.
He's
very handsome fella.
Something
else. Something that I kind of drew from this time that I hadn't caught before. It's his first day in a new precinct
yeah.
when he gets killed.
Yeah,
like, he transfers to a new precinct.
It's a bad day.
Not like first day on the job. Like, he's been a cop before, but first day in the new department and just fucking executed very violently. But on top of that, he says that he transferred in from, like, South Metro, and the chief says something along the lines of, like, yeah, that's a really nice precinct. And then follows it up with, well, we earn a living around here. We work down here. Basically implying that before Murphy transferred, not even that, the way I took it is that he had it just real cushy. Like, it was probably a non-shitty part of the city, which, I mean, good luck finding that in Michigan or whatever.
Yeah.
But he transferred in from a nicer precinct, probably a lot less crime than Detroit. So part of me also takes that, when he gets reborn as RoboCop, like, he goes from being, like, this kind of pampered, like, cop who's probably never even had to draw his firearm until the day he gets killed, and then just is like, I'm just gonna kill anyone now.
Yeah.
I can't
imagine they pay RoboCop either. I feel like he doesn't get a salary.
That's a good point.
Absolutely not. He's
just gets some baby food.
He's a product. With, God, the baby food thing is so...
Yeah.
I don't know what to make of the baby food thing.
So at one point, Maggie Gyllenhaal...
Yep.
She brings RoboCop when he's hiding from the cops because he's realized the cops are bad. He's hiding from them in this warehouse, right? And she brings him his gun and then some baby food.
Yep.
And, why does he need...
I think it was she was insinuating that, hey, let's have a baby. This is the food for the baby we're gonna have.
Clearly.
Put your robot penis in my human vagina. Yeah.
I want a little robo baby.
Let's make a baby cop.
Here's the food for it.
Right.
She's got it all planned out.
We'll live off of this baby food.
Yeah.
It'll be delightful.
Going back to what you said about the cops, I don't even... It's not even that the cops were bad.
Well, it's just, like, the head.
Well, like, they got a bunch of them got killed, so they're not the best guy.
Yeah. Well, no. Like, because, like, Lauren was saying, like, the cops turned bad, like, attacked him. Like, that was literally OCP pulling the strings because they own him. Like, it was a matter of, like, people following orders, which is kind of a dog shit excuse. But, like, again, like, and there's that, when Lewis is helping, RoboCop to get away, they open fire on one of their own. Like, they just start shooting at her.
Yeah.
And that's just terribly fucked.
There's no respect.
No. Corporations are not people. Sorry, listeners.
Are we ready to move on?
Yeah, we can talk about whatever.
Okay. So, I don't know if it was filmed at the same time period, because I'm not great with movies.
Okay.
But it kind of reminded me slightly of Blade Runner.
Yeah, about 5 years apart.
Okay.
Blade Runner's 82.
Okay.
I saw a little bit of Starship Troopers in it.
Yeah, Paul Verhoeven is the directed this, also directed Starship Troopers. And Total Recall.
Okay.
And Showgirls.
Well, that's a classic. That's like, it's one of my other favorites.
Four great sci-fi movies.
But Paul Verhoeven is seriously one of my favorite action sci-fi directors, because Starship Troopers, this, and Total Recall are all fucking amazing movies.
Yeah.
What about the robot just falling down the stairs?
Let's talk about it.
There's major design flaws.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
He's like a little turtle.
I think Joe's wanted to sell it to our military with major design flaws.
Yeah. What do you think? Yeah. He said it was designed for urban pacification.
Black people.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if you've ever been to the projects. A lot of stairs in the projects, typically.
That's all they are.
So, Ed 209, completely worthless unless you're already in front of him standing on even ground.
Yeah.
Right. And then, I guess the other thing was that, like, to jump back to when they first introduced him.
Uh-huh.
And the scene I was talking about earlier where, like, at first, the guy that they're having try out the robot, he points the gun at another person.
Yeah.
Robot does nothing.
Yeah.
But then he has to wait till the gun's pointed at the robot.
Yeah, exactly.
Before the robot responds. If it's for urban pacification, shouldn't it be activated?
Yeah, it should be recognizing a threat the second
the gun's
out.
Yeah, anytime a gun's out.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, and then Dick Jones even has that line. It's like, it's just a glitch. And the old man responds, just a glitch? Like, there's a fucking dead dude that got shot up and his fucking torso looks like spaghetti. On the model of the new city that they're trying to have ready in 6 months. So it's, oh, God.
It's good stuff. Well, I also like, there's a lot of funny parts in the movie, too.
Oh, yeah, guys, so funny, too.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the obvious one? Clayton Biggs.
I'd buy
for a dollar.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. The commentary on the culture is so good.
What
about, like,
the hostage situation?
You've got that. Oh, the hostage situation.
You bring up a good point, little man.
The guy has been recalled as mayor for whatever reason. Takes the new mayor and, like, a bunch of his cabinet hostage. And then starts demanding ridiculous things like, I want my old job back no matter how this turns out. I was like, what?
A low gas mileage
car. That was my favorite one.
The SUX 9000.
I want a car with low gas mileage.
Really shitty gas mileage.
Really shitty gas mileage.
And then, of course, you see the commercial for the SUX 9000.
I thought we were watching it. I thought you switched to Jurassic Park.
Oh, man.
Oh, God.
that would have been so awesome if this movie just turned into RoboCop fighting dinosaurs.
I think it'd be... I mean, they're both good. I would watch both. They'd both be really good.
Yeah.
It'd be even better.
Yeah, like stuff like that, like definitely. And then, of course, you had a lot of parallels with like the Star Wars program under the Reagan administration.
Also Star Wars, where he's just R2-D2. So he's spike into everything.
Yep. I can fix it. I've got it, just a universal tool or whatever. Yeah,
the USB.
Yep. What else? There's like all this stuff with like foreign conflict, like in Afghanistan and all that stuff. Jesus Christ, the board game, Nukem?
Oh, yeah. I just wish that I had that game. And then did you see it was by...
Butler Brothers.
Yeah, the Butler Brothers. Yep.
Just this over-the-top version of Battleship, essentially, but like much more politically pointed. Like at one point, they're all like, you're not respecting our line of scrimmage or something, yeah, like our boundary. And then one was like, that's it, no more foreign military aid for you. Yeah.
And like the mom and the dad were in the commercial too.
Yeah,
and
like the whole family.
Didn't the mom yell, Nukem?
Yeah. Nukem. And then of course you had that comically bad explosion you'd see like from like the Crossfire commercials and other shipping board games.
Oh, that's great.
They always look so much cooler in the commercials than they actually are in real life.
Crossfire? Yeah, that was fun.
It's like, or like the first time when you finally bought Mousetrap and realized like, this is alright the first five times, but then you gotta set it up every time and it's just not worth the payoff.
Some garbage.
One of the other big things, Paul Verhoeven himself has come out and admitted this, RoboCop is a Jesus parable, essentially.
Really?
What?
Yeah.
What?
Well, because
he comes back from the dead.
Yeah, it's the resurrection story first.
Maggie Gyllenhaal is Maggie.
Maggie Magdalene.
Like there's all these things. Like he comes back reborn, essentially as a savior type figure. And there's even I wanted to say something while we were watching. I completely blanked. That final scene when he's about to when he's fighting Red Foreman. Mm-hmm. Who we're just never going to refer to as his actual character's name now.
No.
Clarence Buttinger. What's his name?
Clarence Boddicker.
Got it.
There's a scene where they're standing in, like, that garbage water, like, in the landfill. Yeah. And RoboCop is walking, like, I was reading, like, a behind-the-scenes interview or something with Paul Verhoeven.
So it's like he's walking on water?
Yeah. Yeah, like, they actually, like, they put metal, like, just below the surface, like... Hit like because when you see Kurtwood Smith's feet, like they're actually submerged. Like his feet, like are barely immersed in the water.
Jeez.
But where was the Noah and the Ark scene?
That was it's Old Testament.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
this, at the gasoline.
Yeah, read a Bible, Lauren.
Yeah,
I'm not up to date on my Bible.
I don't think Jesus would shoot people though.
Oh, definitely not. Like I said, it's
new Jesus.
Yeah, there's a take on it.
He did invade the temple.
So yeah. I guess he couldn't shoot his creator. Oh, more God.
Yep.
References.
Yeah, very true. He can't turn on...
Can't turn on this.
Well, and then the Prime Directives, too. Like, they're essentially the same as... They're very similar to the three laws of robotics, mm-hmm. which are typically, like, robot can't harm humans, all that kind of shit.
There's laws to robotics.
It's a science fiction thing, but yeah. Like, it was created in... like
Asimov.
Yeah, Asimov's story. Basically, it's just, like, the three rules of robotics that, like, all robots basically have to adhere to. And, of course, at some point, you know, in a lot of sci-fi, it goes awry. And it turns out, case in point, the ED-209 in this very symbolic of that. One of the other things that I like that really kind of shows, like, just how dehumanized and detached everyone is the scene when RoboCop saves the girl, shoots the dude in the dick.
Amazing
scene. And then when the girl runs up to him and is like, thank you, you saved me, his line is something along the lines of like, a rape crisis center has been notified
really?
Or something. Yeah, like it's just like this very cold response, like just this very over-the-top, like by-the-book response.
But like, how did he even know that was happening? Because there had to be so much other crime in the city. How did he pick that lady's rape over all the millions of others?
I think he was driving by.
Are you just walking the lonely street?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he was driving. I mean, you gotta suspend your disbelief to some extent.
I don't. I mean, I feel like there's... I mean, how did he choose that rape over the others to attend?
Because it's probably the first one he drove by because he was in Detroit.
Okay.
Yeah. There's probably like 20 more rapes that night. They just didn't show him.
Right. That's what I was saying. Like, did he make them all?
Yeah, he probably got them all.
Okay.
He's a robot.
I mean,
I would like to think he did because he's RoboCop and he's a hero in my heart.
Well, yeah. In all our hearts, really.
Right.
Except his because he doesn't have one.
But then, here's the thing. They said they were going to erase his memory, but he still has dreams.
Right.
Yeah. I think that was something, like, there was a flaw in their programming, too, I think. And part of it might have even been, like, this is strictly, like, theory. I haven't read anything. Like, the way he died was so violent and traumatic, like... I feel like you can't blank that out. Because, like, it came back to him in patches, too. Yeah. Like, it wasn't all at once. It was over a period of time. And then, like, even, when those scenes, like, before we actually see him, like, he keeps waking up periodically throughout the procedure, like, and I don't think they anticipated that either.
Yeah.
And then that broad kisses him on his little RoboCop helmet.
Yeah.
At New Year's.
Yeah. He's got it all.
Yeah. Babes.
Babes.
Robot cop stuff.
Baby food.
Baby food.
Just everything you could need in life.
Did Maggie Gyllenhaal die?
No, she did not die.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. No.
Or should I say, thank RoboCop?
Yep, thank RoboCop. Oh, man, there's that great line, too, after she's shot and after he's laying there after they kill Kurtwood Smith, where she's like, oh, I'm a mess. His response is just, they can fix you. They can fix everything.
So she's going to be a robot lady cop.
Oh, no, sadly, no. That would have been so awesome if there had been a second RoboCop.
That's what she wanted, though. Did she come back to be in the
second one? Yeah, she's in the second one. I don't remember if she's in the third one, but she does not. She survives, basically. Right. I mean, she just got shot, like, once or twice.
That's true. That's not that bad in the future.
Yeah, but it's
blown to pieces, like,
yeah. Or else, I also love, too, like, future Detroit. Like, I don't even think it's supposed to be, like, super into the future, even.
I don't think so, either. That's like, what I liked, because it was, like, it's the past based on the future, but it didn't look like there was nothing like over the top that bothered.
Yeah,
I mean, I feel like it's the way that people from that time period, like you said, it was Reaganomics time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, they're thinking like, oh, things are great, like it's gonna be like this in the future, but just we're gonna maybe have more money, but it's gonna be a little sad because it's a dystopia.
Yeah,
is that the right word?
Yeah. Like, well, I mean, there's, like, a lot of economic disparity. Like, this is the most accurate prediction of the future that sci-fi has ever done.
Yeah, really.
Like, seriously, the only thing that we don't have right now is a RoboCop.
Well, they're working on it.
Well, yeah, obviously. Yeah. But, I mean, Ed 209, obviously not to that extent, but you look at, like, drones now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, we're...
That's basically what it was.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's those, there's, like, bomb disposal... Robots are like,
Detroit's a wasteland.
Yeah, Detroit is in bankruptcy. Yeah, like, this movie knocked it out of the park. Like, Blade Runner, great movie. We're not going to be at that point in 5 years. We're not going to have flying cars. We're not going to be speaking of bastardization of Japanese or English. Hey, I'm all for it, man. I'm all for it, but it's not going to happen. Any other thoughts you guys have on the movie before we wrap it up?
I
don't think so.
Where can I get a RoboCop of my own?
Oh, are they're making
OCP.
They're making a new one, and what is that rated PG-13?
Yeah. Yeah. This episode will actually premiere probably in a month and a half or so. So it'll be after the new one's out. I'm definitely curious. I've read a couple preliminary reviews. People have said it's actually good.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like, I mean, I want it to be good.
And
like,
it's the same basic story? It's the same...
I think it's similar to A Fault.
Okay.
Like, really, my only big thing, I think...
I think it explores more the family aspect. Like,
yeah,
what the family do.
I don't know how on board I am with that.
Yeah. They left. They said he was dead. Let's move.
Yeah.
They don't want you. You're a robot.
No, yeah, sorry.
Like, really...
Not a very accepting family.
Yeah, really, my big thing is just the guy that they cast as RoboCop. Who, like, is just not a guy that's been in a lot of stuff and I'm not terribly impressed with. But, I mean, like, the rest of the cast, you got, like, Michael Keaton, Gary Oldman, Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, I
didn't
know that.
Yeah. Okay. So, like, that's... I'm interested. I'm definitely going to check it out. Although, it's definitely unfortunate that they went for a PG-13 rating. Because, like, again, part of what made the original so great is that it's so over the top. But also to its detriment, I think the over-the-top violence is why not a lot of people take it seriously when it's when it's a really it is a genuinely objectively good film. So,
but is it PG-13 because today's standards of movies like accept more violence, or is it PG-13 because it doesn't have as much violence?
It's PG-13 because PG-13 movies do better box office than R movies. Like that's legitimately what it is. Because R-rated movies, you can't let fucking middle schoolers into. PG-13, you can let almost anyone into. So that, like that, seriously, that is what it boils down to. When the last Terminator movie came out, Terminator Salvation, the shitty one that McG directed, it was PG-13 as well. When all the first three were R-rated and they were very violent, and they were well, the first two were really good. The third one was okay. But then, and I was actually reading an interview with the McG who directed Terminator Salvation, and he wanted the R. Like, he wanted a hard R. He didn't want to break
a hard
from
R?
The hard R, yeah. He didn't want to break from any of the stuff that the past movies had done, but the studio said, was like, hey, we sell more tickets if it's PG-13. So that's exactly what it was.
There you go.
Fuck that. So, profits, man.
Yeah, they ruined a lot of great movies.
Fucking Dick Jones.
Exactly. Dick Jones. The old man. One last thing. Maybe the coolest ending shot of a movie ever. Right? Like, it literally ends with him shooting the guy out the window, him walking away, his job is done, and the old man going, "Nice shooting, son. What's your name?" And he just turns, "Murphy." And then just walks. And then the fucking score by Basil Pallodorus hits. I love the music in this movie. Really the music is so goddamn good, too. But, cool. I think that's everything I wanted to hit. Guys, thank you very much for coming on the podcast, watching RoboCop with
here.
Me. Yeah. Thank you for being around
here. For living
here. Yeah, for living here.
You're welcome.
I live here now, too. So.
Mike Cole are living in the basement, so look for him on literally every podcast. <you're on that>. And we'll catch you guys next time.
Join me next week when I take special guest Ethan Sheck through P.T. Anderson's Boogie Nights. A great film takes a look at the pornography industry in the 1970s and early 1980s. If you like the podcast, like the page on Facebook, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, leave us a review. It'll help kind of boost our awareness so people see us. And any questions, comments for the show, send them to howhaveyounotseenthispodcast@gmail.com. And we'll catch you the next time.